Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to this week's edition of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me this week is Steve Sippa. Steve, when asked about Noah Syndergaard's debut in the majors, Terry Collins had this to say: "This is not a Broadway play that we're going to throw this kid out there and see how he sings. We know how he sings." Setting aside Terry's misunderstanding about how the theater world in New York City, and I assume elsewhere, actually works, if you could form a revival of a Broadway play starring only the 2015 New York Mets, what play would you pick?
Well, unfortunately, Broadway is not one of my strengths. So Cats and Grease are the only two former shows I'm really knowledgeable about. Both, Cats wouldn't make sense.
Both excellent choices. If this is a Reds question, absolutely. This was a Red Reporter audio, or Red Reporter radio, I guess it would be. Because you can get a Cat Latos reference in there.
That's very true. But, I mean, I could see Duda running around with the greaser jacket singing and dancing. So maybe there's some potential there.
There's some dudes with long hair. Kirk Neuenheis, a little bit of a greaser. He looks like he's like, I always compare him to Lorenzo Lamas.
I'm pretty sure there's a Sandy in the movie, so.
Yeah, there you go.
And the play, whatever.
I went with Damn Yankees. So we have to tweak it slightly, of course. In this world, or in this universe, a Mets fan makes a deal with the devil that once again, Matt Harvey could be a better pitcher than Michael Pineda, since apparently he's not anymore.
Tough times.
It is. That's the thing that's happened, I guess. This episode 117 of Amazing Avenue Audio, the Ragnarok greater than sign Thursday edition. Because just stop trying to make Thursday work, you guys. I'm sorry. No. And I understand, I had someone point out to me on Twitter that Ragnarok is like the final battle of the old gods and Thor dies at the end of Ragnarok. I understand all that. I don't think that's exactly, I think it goes into like stasis or something. I don't exactly, until the apocalypse comes, but like this real apocalypse. I don't know my Norse mythology that well, to be honest with you. Well, but regardless.
In Marvel, they went into stasis, so.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. but Ragnarok just sounds cooler, and that's the only standard we're really applying here, I feel like. Or at least the only one worth caring about.
I'm pretty impartial, so that works for me.
I mean, we will talk about Noah Syndergaard, certainly. That's number one on the agenda, because he pitched last night, recording this on Wednesday night. Steve did not actually get to see it, because he was watching King of Sport in Philadelphia. We'll also talk about that, too, because it's what you expect from the podcast. We'll also talk about what's up, if anything, with Jacob deGrom, who's had his share of struggles to start the 2015 season. I guess you can fairly put it that way. Then I made the mistake of asking for topics on Twitter, and you responded with a lot of them, including King of Sport. Also, Payback Preview, which is the WWE pay-per-view this Sunday. Some stuff about Kirk Neuenheis and why he's still on the team. Just Bartolo Colon, just Brock Lesnar. We'll get to all that fairly quickly. We'll dispatch with it in short order for each of them, but we'll get to all of them. Then later in the show, Baseball Prospectus's Jeff Moore will chat with me a little bit about the St. Lucie Mets. He's seen them a few times this year. And then we'll answer your emails. Once again, we're recording during Matt Harvey's start, and actually recorded a good chunk of the Jeff Moore interview during a Noah Syndergaard start. So it was bad planning by me this week. But we will talk about Noah Syndergaard, who was good, I say, in his first Major League appearance. I mean, you got all the obvious potential he has to offer and some of the issues that still plague him that are going to be exacerbated at the major league level. I mean, the stuff to like, I will start with first. I did a hit on ESPN Radio in Albany Tuesday morning, and I said the thing I was going to be looking for specifically is, you know, is he comfortable throwing his secondary stuff? Can he command his secondary stuff? Can he get swings and misses with it? You know, can he spot it for strikes? And he did all of those things at various times in the start. The thing that impressed me the most was he was willing to throw it behind in the count when he got in trouble. In tough situations, he wasn't just pumping fastballs. He threw a 3-1 changeup with guys on base. With the bases loaded, he went with back-to-back breaking balls, which we'll get to in a second because I'm hesitant to call it a curve at this point. It really looks like a slider to me. And the secondary stuff was there, and he was getting swings and misses with it. The fastball command wasn't, which, again, if you've seen him on the minors, not a huge surprise there. It came and it went. You know, he had some success later in the start, you know, getting it down glove side, getting it down arm side. But when his command's not great, especially when the ball's up in the zone, sort of because of his mechanics and some other factors, he doesn't get a ton of plane on it. It's pretty true out of his hand, especially up in the zone. Because they've tweaked his mechanics a little bit, so he just sort of stabs back and turns it over. You get I'm not going to say a long look at the ball, but it's not hard to time, even at 96 to 98. And, you know, you saw it in the start. You know, Chris Coughlin in a... it's sort of like, welcome to the Mets, kid. Chris Coughlin will now just wear you out. But, you know, you get the jersey, get the stirrups, get the Mets hat, and you get Chris Coughlin suddenly now just owns you as a pitcher. But when he's sitting on a 2-1 fastball,
cocks for Christ for you.
Even at 96, you know, they'll square it. You know, a couple batter before that, Jorge Soler almost took his head off with a 98-mile-an-hour fastball that was up and straight. And he was tiring at that point, so I don't want to read too much into it. But, you know, that's something he's going to have to deal with in the major league level. And then you saw it a little bit in AAA, too. These guys can square, you know, 70-grade, 80-grade velocity even. But overall, I think it was a good performance. He was let down by his defense, which, again, welcome to the New York Mets. at times, had to throw some extra pitches after Daniel Murphy lollygagged a little bit on a ground ball. We won't delve too much into that in this portion of the show, at least. But you had some issues out of the stretch with runners on. The potential is there. The potential to be a very good major league starter is there. And I can bring Steve sort of back into the conversation now with this question is, assuming he pitches pretty well on his next start this Sunday at home, what do you think happens when Dylan G comes back?
I would prefer to see G put in the bullpen and Syndergaard stay at the major league level in the rotation. I think that Syndergaard certainly has a lot more potential than G does. Give him another start or two, maybe we'll see that he's ready and that he should be in the rotation. Maybe he's completely bombed and he shows, you know, that he's not ready. You know, it depends on how he does, but I would rather see him stay.
I agree with you at this point in time. And if you think G is a good reliever, and there's an argument he could be a decent multi-inning fireman, assuming that he can get warmed up quickly, which I think has sort of been the scuttlebutt around why they're a little hesitant to move him to the pen. You know, we know how much better he is first time through the order, you know, first 50 pitches than he is later in games as a starter. So even if the stuff doesn't necessarily tick up in short bursts, which I'm not entirely convinced it will, because you just don't know with starter to reliever conversions a lot of times. I still think there's value there, especially with the bullpen now looking maybe a little thinner than it did 2 weeks ago. You know, Carlos Torres has had his struggles. Alex Torres has certainly had his struggles. Buddy Carlisle is hurt. How confident are you right now, May 13th, 2015, in giving high leverage innings to Eric Goodell and Hansel Robles? You know, your mileage may vary there. So I think that does sort of kill two birds with one stone in a way. You know, you get a little more upside in the rotation. You get a guy who can throw multiple innings, be a bridge in the bullpen. I'm not going to say piggybacks. I've said that so many times in the shows over the years, what they should do with G. But, you know, a guy that could go two innings, pitch a sixth and a seventh if someone gets in trouble. You know, pitch a seventh and an eighth some nights even.